Wake up, wake up. And today we'll be joined by Sam Batesh as well. It is week one in the NFL. It's on Niners Seahawks, and we're on right now.
Oh, it's here. It's happening. It's arrived. And congratulations. You've officially made it. I made it, Larry. Congratulations. You made it. Our audiences, the chat room, we've all made it to week one of the NFL. So much so, the first game is tomorrow night. Lincoln Financial, we get Cowboys and Eagles to get the season underway. We got a fun Friday game from Brazil, and then here we go. Our first Sunday of the year brings us Seahawks and 49ers. And Larry, I mean, we've been waiting for this for a really long time. We've been trying to speak this into existence. And how about John Breach of CBS Sports, who is trying to predict the 49ers as Super Bowl champions? He's trying to speak that into existence. And he's got Brock Purdy winning the MVP as well. Let's start with a big old scoop of positivity. And it's not from us. This isn't Homer nonsense. This is somebody writing for CBS Sports Radio who really thinks that the 49ers are going to go 13-4. Brock's going to win the MVP. Then they're going to beat the Ravens in the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. Sign us up. I'll take that right now. I'll buy that right now. Sight unseen, price unseen, sold.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty nice. We'll see. I mean, I do think he's onto something as far as I think Brock Purdy has another level to find, and I think he's going to find it. Now, a lot of people would say, come on, you're nuts. You're delusional. He has no Debo. He has no Ayuk, and those are his top guys. You know what? We'll see. We'll see. You're right. I mean, he has lost his top guys. He will have different receivers, but Purdy to Kittle has looked good this summer. Purdy to Pearsall has looked good this summer. Before he went down with the ankle injury, Purdy to Watkins down the field was amazing. Purdy to DeMarcus Robinson is going to be something to behold. So Purdy, we'll see. He's the quarterback of the Krugerrands in the KMBR Fantasy League, which is my fantasy team, and I took him late. So we'll see. I also took a flyer on Michael Penix, so we'll take a, you know, we'll see how Penix does. But I do think Purdy's going to be good. And wow, wouldn't that be something, a rematch of Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, the Harbaugh Bowl, but this time John Harbaugh against Kyle Shanahan with the Ravens coming to town and playing in Levi's. I mean, it'd be amazing.
As long as there are no blackouts at Levi's Stadium, the night should go smoothly. It is great to have everyone here. Hit like and subscribe if you would, please. I know Larry's working in new sponsors, as am I this week, and we've got the same sponsor, as a matter of fact, across our channels. You're going to see an awful lot from Sleeper across your 49er content creators. I think they've infiltrated the market, if you will, and it is great to have everyone here, and thank God football is officially back. So do you think that the Seattle Seahawks have taken poor, don't even know much about them, Chaz Surratt, who spent all training camp with the 49ers, have put him in an interrogation chair with a huge white hot spotlight on him, Larry, saying, tell us everything you know about Kyle Shanahan. Tell us everything you know about Robert Saleh. What can the Seahawks actually get out of Chaz Surratt? Can the Seahawks get more out of Chaz Surratt than the 49ers will be able to get out of Juwan Jennings in week one?
Well, I mean, you know, the Niners also had MVS, right? And MVS was in camp all summer with the Seahawks and trained with them. So, yeah, I mean, and we asked MVS about that, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. We asked Valdez-Scantling as Sammy joins the mix here.
Hey!
But we were just talking a little bit about Seahawks-Niners, Sammy. And I was just saying that I kind of think the that angle of you know your intel, stolen intel, it can be a huge if you get the right guy, but usually the right guy's a coach, or if you get the right guy but it's a quarterback, maybe you could have some intel. But I think that angle is a little overblown. I think it's just really going to come down to the Niners have their program going over here and the Seahawks have their program going over here, and now they're gonna clash on in week one up there, and we're gonna find out. The one thing that if MVS were studying the Seahawks, he ought to tell the Niners about them is that Seahawks are running the hell out of the ball. The Seahawks are averaging over 5 yards a carry in all three of their preseason games. They ran for well over 200 yards against Kansas City. This is a new point of emphasis with Seattle. They were the least percentage run team in football last year. They fired their offensive coordinator. They brought in Kubiak. They made an investment into Gray Zabel in the first round on their offensive line, and they are pounding people with K-9 and Charbonnet, and they're going to roll into this game, and they'll look at the Niners, new defensive coordinator, you know, a couple new starters on defense, new interior defensive line. And they are going to run the ball on the 49ers down their throat. And if the Niners can't stop it, they're going to lose.
Look, guys, obviously week one is here for Seattle and San Francisco, and that's huge. And we've got Thursday night even around the corner with what the Eagles and the Cowboys are going to give us. This game sets in motion everything that we think will go right for the 49ers. I don't want to talk up how this game is going to be. Of course, there are going to be niches within this game that determine the winner, and the run game is going to be crucial to that. But if we look at the early schedule, this is supposed to absolutely be, this is part of, you've got the easiest schedule in football, and it begins week one. Yes, it's a divisional game, but nobody has Seattle at the top of this division right now. Go to Vegas. There's a clear division between what the Rams and Niners are supposed to do this season and what the Cardinals and Seahawks are supposed to do. Everybody sees Sam Darnold as a downgrade to Geno Smith, which, by the way, I mean, think about this, you know, a decade ago, that's kind of a wild accusation, but that's the reality, is that Geno Smith is a better quarterback within this system, what he did for Seattle, than what we think Sam Darnold will do. Charbonnet and Walker, look at it, Larry. They may run the ball a lot, but everyone will tell you that what Charbonnet and Walker did last season was a disappointment. That was not that, that from a run game standpoint, how many other teams were discussed in regards to what they got on the upside of their running game versus what the Seahawks got? Seattle looked really efficient on defense. They looked really efficient in the run game, but everyone expects Charbonnet to be a breakout star when Kenneth Walker is unavailable, and he's yet to show us that. Charbonnet has not been that guy. I'm here in LA. That's where he came from. Everyone was fired up. Fantasy teams everywhere had him as the stash guy. And when he had a chance to be in there and really make a difference, he didn't do that. This team still uses Walker as their lead dog in that way. They're going to continue to do that. Health is going to remain an issue. Of course, when we talk health, we know the Niners are quick and right behind in that discussion. But the bottom line is, yes, this game will be difficult. Yes, this game will come down to the trenches. But if Purdy is healthy, if McCaffrey is healthy, if Kittle is healthy, this is a game the Niners are without question for what this season is supposed to be, for what this window is supposed to be. I don't want to talk about how difficult this is going to be. This is supposed to be a win. You have to dominate this division. You have to split with the Rams and essentially beat the Cardinals twice and the Seahawks twice if you're going to win this division. That's what it's going to take. So
I agree, this
has to be a win.
But the strength of what Seahawks do offensively, run the ball down your throat, is the one, hey, we need a litmus test. We don't even know what the pH balance is in this pool yet. We don't know how Mikel Williams, Alfred Collins, and CJ West are going to look when bullets start flying for real. You know, testing an unproven, untested, lot of rookies out here defense is what Mike McDonald is going to be doing all day long. I mean, if this is a game where Seattle isn't forced to throw the ball an awful lot early, you can expect 45 rushing attempts, I think, out of the Seahawks on Sunday.
I have a question for both of you. They're going to try to run it. I mean,
I have a question for both of you. The Niners. It seems like every team from a rookie class standpoint in the league has a real definitive idea of what they got in either the first or the second round of this draft. And with what do we actually know about the Niners with Mikel Williams? We know nothing, right? I mean, not only forget about you guys have had eyes on training camp, but the idea that he didn't play at all in the preseason really has a huge cloud over how excited we are. I also, frankly, from the day he was traded, we all said it was a great thing, but I haven't heard and seen a ton about Bryce Huff either. And I thought that was going to be an impact. And the real bullets are going to fly now, and nothing that we say before this Sunday is going to matter, because after this Sunday, that's when it really counts. But I don't know much about Williams. And what I know about Huff at this point is a full season removed of Philadelphia and what he did in New York with Saleh the last time they were together. But I haven't seen I've seen much more out of players on the offensive side than the defensive side when it comes to other than maybe the first preseason game when Chase made the team. Okay, we all understand that. But really, defensively, the new additions, I don't really know what we have. It seems like a mystery to me in that regard.
I mean, I think you're right on. I mean, it's, you know, we've changed the whole NFL preseason has changed from, hey, you got four games and you're going to see the starters at some point. And only teams like the Rams with McVay said, oh, we're not playing our guys. Everybody else played their guys for the most part. But like for the 49ers, you know, we haven't seen Juwan Jennings. We haven't. You're right. We haven't seen CJ West. We haven't seen. Now, I've seen them because I've been at practice every day and they did practice. But like Huff, and that's, you know, Huff's a good example. Huff is dominating in practice and is dominating in the one-on-ones when Denver and the Raiders came in. I mean, really dominating, like making their tackles whiff altogether on him. But he, you know, he's like, there's some guys that, I mean, the 49ers are kind of in this category right now. They got six or seven guys that are like really, really good and don't really have anything to prove. Not only did they not need to make the team, they'd already made the team, but they'd already made a starring role on the team. So Trent Williams, Kittle, all these guys, they didn't really need to do anything this summer. Some did, some didn't. But that's what makes week one so exciting is that, yeah, we're going to see Bryce Huff in full throttle. We're going to see Mikel Williams, who also had a hyperextended knee. I'll tell you what Mikel Williams looks like. He looks like overpowering as an interior rusher, like special, like he can get the quarterback one of every two or three opportunities. To outside, he only wins with his initial move, and if he doesn't win then, he's almost always neutralized, and sometimes by pretty ordinary players. So I think you're going to see a lot of him inside in key situations. And I think you'll see Huff and Williams and Bosa on that same line. I'm not sure who that fourth guy is going to be, but, there's a lot of unknowns here. There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, that's kind of why the 49ers are a big projection. Like, and we will talk about one angle I want to get to before we get out of here is there was a guy who put out NFL team tiers, and he had the Eagles like number one, but I thought his tiers were so goofy and so wrong. And we'll take a look at that in a minute here. But I think the 49ers are not the only team. They're one of, I would say, maybe 10 teams where they you couldn't glean a ton off the preseason. You just couldn't.
You know, it's where your eye's going to be on Sunday. Let me tell you, this is the most interesting A-gap battle we're going to really watch all year, one of them anyways, because we know that the 49ers have both Alfred Collins and CJ West, but they're listed on the depth chart as backups with Kalia Davis and Jordan Elliott starting, and they are going to be facing early on what everyone in Seattle is excited about. They think they found their Dominic Pooney. They love Gray Zabel up in Seattle. So they got a rookie going up against what will be eventually coming into the game rookies of the 49ers. So we got a little rookie class battle in the A-gap just right away, week one in this football game. So that's going to be a really, really fun thing to watch. And then, of course, for this to be Sam Darnold's first test with the Seattle Seahawks, to go to the team that really, I mean, Kyle Shanahan reignited Sam Darnold's career, not based on what he did, but based on the rumor mill that came around what might be happening behind the scenes, and Darnold's really getting it. And look, he goes to Minnesota and he does play well. He's got incredible talent at wide receiver around him in Minnesota, which I think brought out the best in him. But when it came time to going forward with or walking away from, the Vikings did not hesitate to say, thank you very much, Sam Darnold. And now he's up in Seattle. And this, to me, is the fatal flaw of what Seattle is trying to do. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. I don't think the Vikings believe in Sam Darnold. The 49ers, obviously, were comfortable moving on from Sam Darnold. I think he's a good guy, good hard worker. Everybody likes him, says the right things. He's not a bad person. No one's rooting against him. I just know that he's good for an interception when the rubber meets the road.
Here's the biggest difference. This is what it comes down to, what you believe in Sam Darnold or not. It's really what he had around him in Minnesota. Even take O'Connell out of it. Just look at what happened from a wide receiver standpoint. But when it's Addison and Justin Jefferson peak at their peak – in a season where they are absolutely winning routes every game, Darnold can be that guy. I mean, Darnold still had a throw in the first matchup against the Packers where he hits Jefferson back shoulder. And I'll say it's as good a throw as I saw all season. Darnold can do it when he's got protection and when he's got guys winning routes. Darnold can be that guy. Now, that's a big difference in the NFL. I would every week, that's NFL not happening.
I would be a terrible NFL quarterback. If you gave me Justin Jefferson, I'd be one step above terrible.
Yes.
Just on that alone.
Speaking of tiers, you'd be in another tier.
Though,
yes.
It is interesting that like Jefferson in our fantasy draft went a lot lower than he has. So, yeah, you're saying Jefferson and Addison were the key to Darnold. Some people believe that Darnold was the key to those guys, and he's not going to be as good this year with J.J. McCarthy. Now, that could be more about J.J. McCarthy than Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is pretty – he's played a lot of games at this point. I think we know what Sam Darnold is. Sam Darnold is absolutely has the look of a franchise quarterback. He has the physical stature of a franchise quarterback. He has the arm strength and throwing ability of a premier franchise quarterback. And he turns the ball over a lot.
And what you didn't say is this.
He did it at SC. He's done it in the NFL. He turns the ball over a lot. What happened to him at the end of last year? How did he look in his last game with the Vikings? He turned the ball over a lot.
So, and what you're not saying, which the key to this entire game probably is this, we're not talking enough about it per se. We're talking about the Seahawks running game and a lot on the Seahawks side. The defensive line, the defensive front, the defensive push from the 49ers is this entire game. Darnold, if you look at why Darnold isn't in Minnesota, it comes down to two games. It's week 18 against the Lions, and it's the playoff game that was in Arizona because of the fires against the Rams, where he was absolutely blown up by the Rams defensive front. Sam Darnold is a completely different guy. You want to talk about Sam Darnold seeing ghosts the way he did on Monday Night Football years ago against the Patriots? Sam Darnold is not the same guy with pressure in his face. Nobody thinks about it. The reason why we talk about Brock Purdy earning the money he did, what Brock Purdy can do to remain calm and roll away from pressure is not easy. Just because Brock Purdy isn't Lamar Jackson getting away from pressure, that's the difference between Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. Being able to absorb the pressure, still read the field and make a play, that's where Purdy steps out and gets away a little bit. And Darnold does not have that step of mobility. Darnold feels the pressure. It affects his game, and that will be the difference.
TCU saw no ghosts. Zero ghosts at Chapel Hill. Zero ghosts at TCU.
48 points.
Actually, they did see the ghost of Belichick's girlfriend on the 50. Dude, what? Get off the 50, baby.
It's time seriously, to get back in the press box, without a doubt. Everyone like and subscribe, if you would, please, across all three channels. The Krug Show, Damon Bruce Plus, Thinking Out Loud, Siciliano, and Sam. It's wonderful to have you here. It's wonderful to have week one here. And it's hopefully wonderful to have Juwan Jennings back from his walk in the wilderness, where he may or may not have hurt his calf, rub some money on it, rub a little deadline on it, rub a little, hey, you're running out of leverage here, kid. You better get to work if you want to get paid like a $20 million a year guy. There's only one way that's going to happen now. Go out, big dick game, and show everybody that you're the man this year, and then get your money this next offseason. Larry, you were down in Santa Clara. What was Juwan Jennings back on the practice field like to see? Easy breezy, happy guy. Tell us about somebody who has made the offseason probably more awkward than it needed to be.
Well, I mean, he doesn't look like he's got a calf injury. You know, I mean, okay. Trent Williams was, talked about him the day before. And he's like, yeah, man, he's got a lot going on. And, with the contract, he never once said anything about the calf injury. He didn't move like a guy who had a calf injury. When we talked to Shanahan about it a couple weeks ago, he said, it's really not that serious. And then, but he's not showing up. Why? Oh, the calf injuries are tricky. Then I Googled a couple days ago for a video, calf injuries. And what I found was that there's three phases, or there's three levels. There's a grade one, which is, hey, just, it's a massage it out, stay off your feet, whatever. If it's a couple day thing, then a grade two would be 3 to 6 weeks, or 3 to 8 weeks, I should say, rehab. And you would have, some pain and soreness, but after 3 to 8 weeks, you should be back. Grade three was like 3 to 6 months and usually requires a surgery. And usually that means there's some form of a tear. The Niners at no point quoted any grade one, grade two, grade three. So you know what? Even if he had it, he supposedly had this in March. So even if he had a grade three, he didn't have a surgery. We were told there were no tears, and it's been 6 months, right? I mean, that was March. We're now in September. So even if it was grade three and it wasn't, he should be ready to roll. He showed no ill effects of it. And when I say that, you know, Mikel Williams had an ankle injury last year. Early in camp, he's grimacing. He's grabbing that ankle. There are other guys. Grendo had a shoulder injury. He's out there on the side running routes and running through drills. And every now and then he's kind of like, ugh, how's that shoulder coming along? JJ didn't touch the calf, didn't grimace. He did stop and start and change of direction drills with all the other receivers. Didn't show any worse for wear. I'm not saying it's phantom, but I just think it's like you had a calf injury here and you had a contract holdout here. And the calf injury kept getting better, but you kept staying out. It was the contract, man. It was the contract. And Lynch said it's both. Lynch had to say that. He had to say it was the calf. Because if it's not the calf, then the next question is, why is he not being fined for skipping preseason games that the rest of these guys all have to play in? Why is he not being fined for skipping training camp practices the rest of these guys have to participate in? So he had to say the calf injury was legit, but based on my eyes, I would say the calf injury is not a factor.
Can I spin that as a positive?
I don't think the 49ers have an awful lot of credibility when it comes to reporting injuries for years now. So I don't believe what they're saying very much. And the only way that John Lynch could have stuck the landing better on all that is if he gone to full Ralph accent and said, two things can be equally true. Cause that was a Ralphism if there ever was one. And, you know, I'll give Lynch this. I'm sure there is an element of truth to what he's saying. I'm sure the calf wasn't 100%. But it was bad feelings about the negotiation that carried the day. And as everyone is sitting here trying to come up with the who won this, who lost this, who's the winner, who's the loser, who got owned, who got this, who got that. Let me tell you who the winner is. The 49ers and football. Like, they need this guy. They need this guy. I don't want to hear about good feelings, bad feelings. The Niners are better with Juwan Jennings in their current situation, full stop. I'm glad he's back. There you go.
I'm spinning this entirely positive here. I'm taking all of the X-Files out of it, all of the conspiracy away from this. Now, what Lynch said definitively was the guy definitely wanted a trade and came to us about it, and we definitely did nothing about it. They didn't move at all. They acknowledged that he asked for it. They acknowledged that they did nothing in pursuit of it.
It's not going to happen.
That's it, right? So thanks.
He didn't say that he didn't make calls around the league and found out that the value wasn't there, and that's why it's not going to happen. He just said it's not.
You know what
happen.
He said? You know what he said? You know when you walk into your boss's office and you're saying, I don't really know. You know, I'd really rather not work on Christmas. And you know what he says? Noted. He says, noted. He says, yeah, that's great. I heard what you have to say, and we'll figure out the schedule. And that's basically what Lynch said when asked that question. Yeah. Yes. We heard Juwan Jennings ask for a trade. Guys ask for a lot of things. And by the way, we all have kids. They ask for a lot of things. And what happens? Sometimes we're able to give it to them. And sometimes it's see you later, kid. 5 minutes later, you forget about it. That's how that was treated. So that's the number one positive. It's irrelevant. It was irrelevant to the Niners in regards to getting rid of this guy. Number two, and this is the most important, as you hit on Damon, the guy's playing. I don't want to complain about the fact that his calf injury is less significant because that means the Niners lied to us. That doesn't matter. For anyone that's rooting for this team, the idea that you're going to get the truth from anyone from Shanahan to Lynch or anyone else, who gives a shit? The reality is the guy's playing on Sunday, and that's the most important thing. And it's not the most important thing because of a depth chart. It's the most important thing because he's at the top of the depth chart. He's the number one receiver to start this season. It doesn't matter why he's number one. He's number one. And I've said it to both you. Purdy to Pearsall looked real nice, but having Jennings there is going to be the difference. This is the guy that Purdy developed with. This is the guy that Purdy built confidence with before he actually got on the field as a starter. This is his guy. That is going to be good news. The guy that we wonder about is Ayuk. That's the guy that we wonder where the relationship is with Purdy, not with Jennings. We know that that is there. This is good news. This is good news for Niners fans. This is good news for anyone who took a flyer on Juwan Jennings in fantasy football. This is good news for people watching Week 1, because you want to see Jennings. And Jennings, is a big play potential receiver, which is what you want out of your receiver. You want a guy who can take the top off. Again, look at what happened when this team played without their weapons against the Rams in that first ugly come from ahead defeat to the Rams last season. But in that game, Juwan Jennings was every bit of number one, and Purdy was exceptional that day because of Juwan Jennings. They have that potential, and now it is here. Calf or no calf, if he's feeling good, that's good news for everybody.
I think they did a whole PR end around here. Everybody showed up at the beginning of camp. Is he going to hold out? Is he going to hold in? They're like, oh, he's going to show up and play. He's not going to hold out or hold in. Then a couple days later, he took off, said, it's a calf, and they covered for him all summer. And I just really think that they basically made a deal with him. Like, hey, you know what? We're not going to take we'll go with your story. It's a calf. We'll make it up. We'll figure out what to tell the media and the Krugers and the Mayokos and the Cones and all. We'll just make stuff up all summer. We'll just tell them whatever we need to do to just, keep their. We won't talk about it. It won't come up that much. We'll buy you this time, but you got to show up when it matters. You know, we'll see. We'll talk about a contract, but you know what? You got a contract. I don't think the 49ers ever really were going there contractually. I think JJ knew it. I think the Niners and JJ, I believe, were all on the same page on this. They just said, hey, you know what? It's in our best interest to have you really not play a whole lot this summer. And since your calf might be a little iffy, we'll use that as an excuse. You're obviously unhappy about the contract. We're going to give you a wide berth to get used to it. But you know what? When it matters, we want to see you there. We believe you'll be there. It matters now. He's there. It's water under the bridge.
I feel like look at this right here. This is my name is Jeff Sand. I feel like everyone is circle jerking each other off right now. And you have just perfectly surmised the entire training camp experience. Thank you very much. The circle jerk ends Thursday night, Friday night, and then Sunday afternoon, and it starts for real. Larry, I know Yes.
Go ahead. Go handle your business. We got to mention here, since we never mentioned off the start, the Krug Show, of course, is always brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out, and they do run out. So get there early, get some brisket chili. Tell them that Krug sent you. Let's hit a couple of these supers right away so we don't bury them. We got this one from Wyatt. Oh, wait a second here. We have a new way of putting. Can you guys see that?
Ooh, not yet. But
wait a second. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Wait. Something happened there. I hit that.
These will get up there.
Here we go. Nice, nice. Mike 209, amazing duo. Plus, this is, of course, before Sammy get the room.
It's all right.
You guys agree with Cone about it takes a free release for Ricky to be successful? Keep up the great work, fellas. I don't agree with that. I think Ricky can get off the line of scrimmage, though I think, he's better with a free release. He's not the most physical guy. Their teams are going to clutch him and bump him and, all kinds of things at the line of scrimmage, but I don't think that's game over for Ricky. And I think he'll show it.
Should be no definitive statement one way or another on Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall still lives in the land of, we don't know. We don't know. We hope we see some good things, but we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk honestly about the 49ers, preseason is not the spot. I mean, it just isn't. Everything matters week one. I think there's going to be a lot of things that we thought good about the Niners that we're going to not think so good after this week one. There's a lot of things that we were worried about the Niners that we're going to feel just fine about. And I kind of think that might be one of them. Fuji Simeon says, Larry, any special 49ers season opener meal you make or eat? Damon, will the brisket make another appearance this football season? I'm usually at the game, right? So when the home games, I don't do anything. I don't really make anything on actual game days either, because we usually go to church on Sundays. And then, I usually come back. I mean, I usually skip it. I mean, the family will go. I mean, I skip during football season. I believe in strict NFLism. So, I, you know, we should make
those t-shirts.
Yeah. NFL is a nice. We skip church every Sunday through football season. But, you know, I mean, sorry, Father, if you see me out there, you know, it's not good. If I'm in your congregation, I've been shit canned by my employers. So that's not good. But as far as meals, I don't do anything, though. I do. You know, I got three boys, and my daughter, her fiance eats like, he eats like five pregnant women. So, yes, I mean, if I know there's a bunch of people coming, I will usually like to barbecue. I have a charcoal grill, so I'm like old school, right? I got the old school Weber. And I will, I'll hit Lenardi's, which is a market here in Northern California. And my son works there. So I'll say hi to him. He checks, he's a checker. And then I'll usually get like, you know, maybe 4 pounds of ground chuck and make, you know, get like some of those Hawaiian rolls, you know. Ooh. And I'll get a bunch, and I'll just make like maybe 20 or 30 or 40 sliders and just let the crew kind of feast throughout the day. That's kind of usually my go-to.
I love the chili.
Sometimes chili. Yeah, but a mini burger. And then what I'll do is I'll put just a little lettuce, a little tomato, a little red onion, toothpick right through it. No condiments. You do your own. Put them out there on the table. It's amazing. The other night, my son had his buddies over. There was like 12, 15-year-olds in my house.
Uh-oh.
And they'd gone to pizza and had like ice cream or something. And so I said to him, I go, dude, they're all staying the night? He's like, yeah. I'm like, they're going to be hungry, man. He's like, no, Dad, they'll be fine. We're going to pizza. I'm like, Dad, I go, hey, this is not my first rodeo. They're going to be hungry. I'm going to make a bunch of burgers. He's like, Dad, don't do it. You're going to waste the time. I don't want you to waste your time.
I made
25 burgers.
Hero.
These guys wolfed them, Damon and Sammy, before I could even come in the house. I put them on the table. I went out to the garage. I came back in. They were gone. I'm like, what happened to the 25 burgers? And they're all just like, those are good, Mr. Kruger. So,
picky eaters. I got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're still picky eaters, and Jillian will get all upset. You know, eat your chicken, eat your protein. I'm like, hey, enjoy it while you can, because at some point they're gonna, you know, be 14 and 16 and eating us out of house and home, and we won't be able. We'll need a second refrigerator just to keep food for the boys. So enjoy their picky nature while we can enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'll say this by the way, quickly.
Costco is like, when I go to Costco, I see how far above 500. Can I get literally, and I've spent over $1,000 at Costco.
Oh, sure. You can do that easy. And you think you're saving money the whole time. You're like, what a bargain. Look at the money I'm saving. Got an $800 Costco bill. Look at the money I'm saving. You could have gone to Safeway and spent $300. Look at the money I'm saving.
Right. By the way, speaking of game day, real quick on this one, I have to throw this in. For number one, I'll give a little love to Ike's. I will say, for those that haven't had the Damon Bruce sandwich, because I am about to discuss a steak sandwich that's not from Ike's, but I want to say that on my list of steak sandwiches, the Damon Bruce is now forever there. I was a virgin before this 4th of July. I went for the Damon Bruce at Ike's this year. I have told everybody about it. An onion ring, some people consider nacho cheese or caramel in addition to anything that makes it better. I will argue the onion ring, there isn't a savory dish that hasn't been made better by an onion ring. I got a steak the other night and they just randomly threw an onion ring on with it. That was glorious. I didn't even know it was happening and it was just there. That was outstanding. So thank you for Ike's and the Damon Bruce. But I will say this much, the tradition
onion ring, I gotta second that. The onion ring on the Damon Bruce sandwich at Ike's gives you a little bit of crunch in the middle because it's got a nice little fry to it. So I, you know, and with the sauce and the onion ring, it does work.
It's as if someone who's carried an extra 35 pounds on their frame their entire lives designed this sandwich, isn't it?
Someone who was essentially practicing Atkins before it became a fad. Yes, hell, Damon, yeah, this
me, baby.
Was you all the way.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's
one,
do it.
One more. I gotta get this in here, of course. Well, first of all, JC Mania. Thoughts on yesterday's brawl between the Giants and the Rockies. What happened was Kyle Freeland throws a fastball and
what happened first of all is Rafael Devers is all of a sudden the best player in baseball. Now move on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously, sorry, Boston. Your dream scenario was not going to continue forever. This guy's good. Devers parked one and he really stared at it, and it was very majestic. So he stared at it, and then he kind of tripped in the batter's box. So then he didn't want to be like trip and fall down. So then he's like continuing his stare. Then he starts his jog, and Kyle Freeland is got a little red ass and started yelling at him. And then he started saying, "Hey, fuck off, this and that." And then here comes Chapman, here comes Adames, and the whole thing spilled into a big nothingness.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that Devers Cadillac that more than any other home run of the season that he's hit. However, Kyle Freeland, you've won three games on a last place team. Shut the fuck up and throw your next meatball. Like, seriously, don't get tough now. You're a Colorado Rocky.
Exactly. And I mean, seriously, we're talking about, you're probably pissed about like an extra half second. It's like, get over yourself.
And this is a record-setting season for Colorado baseball in the worst category of all time. I mean,
that's part of why he's so upset. Fuji says, looking forward to the Plus Mania, Damon.
October 4th, we're starting at 4:20, so I have a start time that everybody has burnt into their brain. October 4th, 4:20, Dubliner, West Portal. It's a Saturday. It's the Saturday after the 49ers. 49ers Rams Thursday night game. So there's no football that weekend for Niners fans. We're going to watch a little college football at the Dubliner, hang out. Sammy, maybe you can come up from LA. Larry, I hope you and Kevin could come in from Walnut Creek. It'd be great to see you guys.
What's the date on that?
October 4th, 4:20. It's a Saturday, first Saturday of October.
That's such a beautiful invite. I got it yesterday. I gave it to Allie. I said, we got to circle this one and make it happen. We have talked about getting back to San Francisco.
4:20, Larry. Is that a time you can remember?
4:20. I don't get the significance. All right, here we go. Quick mention here. The 49ers football season is presented on the Krug Show this year by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course Sleeper picks for daily fantasy product. Use promo code Larry and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description below. Terms and conditions do apply. We won't pick a lineup this week, but I just give you an idea. I went with Christian McCaffrey with an anytime touchdown. I think that's pretty good. Feels I kind of like Cooper Kupp to have more than the 32 yards in the slot. I had Jackson Smith and the Jigba with more than 6.5 catches. I think they're going to go to him a lot in this game. And I kind of like Charbonnet a little bit. And it was a real low rush number. I think Seattle's going to try to run it a ton at the Niners in this game, and I think you'll see both back. So,
by the way, I would say this much: look at Charbonnet catches. That's usually where he cleans up, the number of catches. That's a good one for Charbonnet if you can get it. You don't worry about the yardage. You just know that they're going to go to him. They do like that outlet for him.
A couple more supers here. Fuji says, I hate to ask, but for Moody, is there a number of missed extra points or field goals the team has in mind that is a cut moment regardless of outcome? They're deep in with him. They want it to work. They'll make it up as they go.
Yeah.
I mean, you could ask them this question. I don't think they'd want to be on the record with that.
Think of Jake Moody as this team's lingering calf injury they'd rather not discuss.
Well, look, Jake Moody's worst game as a professional athlete, he was carried off the field as the hero also. Remember that. These things are really bizarre to really, you know, determine what is good and bad at that position. But yeah, Moody, I thought they were going to take a real look at Hopkins when he was cut, when the Browns decided to go with the rookie whose name does not have a vowel in it, so I won't even attempt it. But Hopkins, is a professional kicker available if the Niners need him, and that would be one to take a look at. But you know,
somebody told me in fantasy, draft Jake Moody. I'm like, what? I took Cameron Dicker, the kicker. To me, he's very, very solid. Travis Omega, is anyone gonna acknowledge Puka has only played 17 games in two seasons? As injury prone as any star player, the Rams are in trouble. Puka is probably one of the toughest receivers in pro football. He absolutely gets starched and he keeps getting up. But I would say forget Puka. Let's just talk about the Rams for a second. I think the Rams first team defense is awesome, but guess what? Their second team defense is putrid and they had no injuries last year. So something tells me that will even out a little bit this year. And if you get a full year of Agent Zero and Verse and Fisk and all these guys, yeah, they're going to be really good. But if they have to lean on their backups, go look at their depth chart. It's not good.
I do want to give the Rams credit for one thing, though. The fact that they have a number one defense that is as significant as it is after replacing Aaron Donald, I do want to credit them for that. That is remarkable. The fact that they...
I'm sorry, Sam. I didn't mean to cut you up.
That's all right.
There is no dominant unit in football less discussed than the Los Angeles Rams defense. It's almost as if they don't. Every conversation about Rams is, what did McVay have for lunch? Whose hand did he shake? And how's Matthew Stafford feeling today? It's like the defense doesn't even exist, and it's the strength of the entire franchise. So
I don't know about that. I mean, they've got Stafford in a, and they got an offense that can put up 35 a game.
They do.
I think if Stafford's healthy, I think the Rams offense is scarier than their defense. I like the Rams defense. Don't get me wrong, but they look at some of those guys that did things for them last year. Akello Witherspoon and Kobe Durant and some of these guys. It's like,
can they do it again?
Pretty marginal players. We got this one from Angel Murillo. Look at how I rolled the R today.
That was great. Murillo. That sounded nice.
Murillo on Angel, right? It's Angel. It's not Angel. Larry, you know, I love you, but I need you to look at the camera.
Look into my eyes and apologize, Larry.
Apologize to my boy Slick Rick, Ricky Pearsall. You called him a bust, and he is not. He will wind up being a top 12 receiver this year. Wow. You wanted Leggett, and he's a bust. I absolutely did want Leggett, but I also wanted the, you know, it wasn't, first of all, I didn't get a chance to work out any of these guys. I wanted Leggett, but I also wanted McConkey. And McConkey's been good right away. Leggett, I think, is going to be really good long-term. As far as apologizing to Ricky Pearsall, he's played two fucking games that are good, and he's played like seven games that he wasn't good. So why don't we pump the brakes on his two good games and, like, let's have him have, I don't know, how about a good season? Why don't we start there?
Right.
And he's, you know, he's a second-year player. He had a disaster start to his year. He had an excuse that other guys didn't have. Okay. And he came alive at the end of the year, and I'm impressed by who he is as a guy. He holds himself to a high standard, but we need to see it. We need to see it. And it all starts on Sunday, and production will rule the day. And if he produces, you're right, and I will apologize. But I'm not apologizing after two games.
Larry will run that apology to the podium.
By the way, this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity. No Debo, no Ayuk. I mean, in the difference between the wide receiver room that he was in when he started his career and what it is now is so vastly and violently different than what we thought it was going to be. And plus the Jennings saga all season. I mean, at some point we were talking about Equanimeous St. Brown. I mean, this is the chance for Pearsall to show that right now. So I think your apology very much is on a TBD status.
Couple more, then we'll have one more topic here. JC Mania, is it possible that West and Collins are playing second string so they can keep Bosa and Williams rested throughout the game while elevating the second team D-line? No. It has everything to do with their injuries and their development. If they were better and healthier, they'd be starting. That's it. Joseph Ernberg, our slow, non-separating wide receiver is back. Oh, my God. Ernberg, I love the negativity. Nobody's more negative than Joseph Ernberg.
Does Shanahan have Ernberg's number, by the way? He should have Ernberg come in for a pregame speech, right? I mean, you want bulletin board material. If Ernberg could just come in and talk to the team before a game, imagine how fired up they'd be to prove him wrong. That would be a solid strategy.
Imagine how good Ernberg would be at weddings.
Oh,
it's not going to last.
The roasters. If anyone in this crowd,
these people are all wrong for each other. Does anybody have anything to say? If not, forever hold your peace.
Ernberg's got the little microphone.
They're never
going
to make it to 6 months.
He's got the megaphone in the back. Yeah, Ernberg's great.
A lot of cleavage on a bride wearing white.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've seen a baby's bottom. JC Mania. Can the Giants possibly make a late season wild card push? It's possible, but not likely. Fuji, thoughts on the projected 53% 49er fans in Seattle? Your take on teams cracking down on season ticket holders selling tickets on the secondary market? First of all, there should be no crackdown. The tickets cost enough. It's entertainment. This is America. This is the land of the free. Do what the fuck you want. And no, sorry, teams, you're overstepping your goddamn bounds. Stop cracking down on stuff. It's, you know, how about this? Make your product better and more entertaining, and your fans won't sell you their tickets. That's the good solution.
The one place where there's never officially been more Niners fans than home team fans here today is up in Seattle. Seattle is a legit home field advantage, and if the 49ers crack that code too, that's it. Nobody travels like the 49ers.
By the way, I agree with that.
Nobody out the Seahawks. Travels like the Niners.
By the way, go game by game Seahawks 2024 season. This is a team with a losing record at home. 12th man. This is a lot different than it used to be in Seattle. So watch out.
Yeah. They still got the stadium though that's designed to have the noise bounce off that roof though. It does get loud in there. I've never been. I can't speak to I've been there, but everyone who's gone up there tells me A, it's awesome. B, the fans are great. It sounds awesome. But let's see if the 49ers really I fucking hate them more than anything else on the planet sports. Nobody can travels like the Kentucky Wildcats. Back in the day, the Kentucky Wildcats traveled like there's nothing else to do in Kentucky. These cousin fuckers got nothing but Kentucky basketball. So they had nothing to do but root for their cats. And nobody travels like the 49ers. I'll say that now too. Nobody travels like the Niners.
It's amazing. I mean, I'll be traveling with Kev to New Orleans in week two. It's amazing. Niner fans either have a lot of disposable income. Just bottom line, there's a lot of Niner fans all over the country.
And I'll speak about SoFi. By the way, LA, SoFi, that is red. And we remember that NFC Championship game a couple of years ago. But the Rams fans were so upset with how many Niners fans dominated that game, even at the pinnacle of what it was as an NFC Championship.
Wyatt says no one talks about Sala neutralizing the Eagles offense 3 years ago. Okay. We got this one from
3 years ago.
Well, by the way, that's what are we talking about? The NFC Championship game loss? That was the neutralization. Or are we talking about the Debo game where he went off in the revenge game? Either way,
he wasn't here for the Debo game.
Yeah.
He wasn't here.
Right, of course.
Tricks the Seattle's DB Lou. Okay. There you go. Thank you, kid. That was really good. Enrique Martinez, when the coming season ends this year, when to extend or re-sign Nick Bosa? Also, when to trade Brandon for picks? Well, we'll see. I mean, the offseason's coming. We'll see, Enrique, what they do, what they opt to do.
Look at it this way. Nick Bosa has all sorts of financial incentive to have a monster year, though. I mean, dudes are making $40 million a year at his position with monster years. And Nick Bosa is in line for something like that if he unleashes hell and is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate throughout this year. So go get him, Nick. Go get him.
Fuji Simeon says, speaking of football, Larry, this is the year Reardon beats your Sangnacious Kitties. Huh. Reardon currently ranked number 2 in the Bay Area football behind De La Salle.
Right, Reardon's legit. They're legit. I'm gonna make.
Yeah, but what's that gap? De La Salle to Reardon. I mean, obviously De La Salle is just a stalwart there.
De La
Salle's after
not
year.
Quite what they year, yeah. were. I don't handicap or scout high school football. I just don't.
Not yet.
I love football. My kid plays football. I'll be watching Northgate. How about this? Northgate JVs are most likely going to cancel their game this week. Because of lack of numbers. I mean, that's bad. I mean, anytime you're doing that, but that's probably the future of youth football.
Wait, time out, Larry, before you get one thing to say about high school football. Did you see the ruling that was very much in favor of high school football? We are going to have a Friday game to start this week one. The Chiefs and the Chargers are going to play Friday. Did you see that there is a ban moving forward? Seasons ahead of us, no longer will we have a Friday game to start week one. There was a ruling that kicked up a law that's been in effect since 1960 about not being able to play a professional game within a certain amount of mileage from any high school or college game on a Friday. Hmm. So that was a big win for high school football.
Friday Night Lights fights back. Fuji says, we got this one from Fuji. He says, Brian Kenny on MLB Network blames the Giants' endeavors for the brawl. Per him, Freeland is a victim. Brian would be a perfect SI Wildcat because of his complaints. Do not make non-Wildcats Wildcats. You hate us because you ain't us, I believe is how it goes. Baby Radiance, Larry doesn't need to apologize to nobody. Thank you, baby. Nobody puts Baby Radiance in the corner. JC Mania, you guys got the Dirty Dancing reference.
Right.
That woman was better before the plastic surgery, by the way. JC Mania, LOL, remember when SoFi made a rule where LA residents were the only people allowed to buy tickets for Rams Niners? Do you remember that one?
You needed a
yes, I do.
Your credit card had to be in the right zip code.
The zip code. It was the zip code that made the difference. But by the way, it's very much what happened. First of all, ever since PSL went into effect, and then the amount of money you have to spend on season tickets, it became an Airbnb market. That's what it really is. You basically have these tickets, and then it's up to you if you're going to live in that home or rent it out for the weekend. That's what it comes down to. And so I think it's a totally fair market. And as you said, Larry, if you got a chance to make money on ridiculously expensive tickets, and all of us know that we can enjoy an NFL game with a remote control. Yes, we are of that age group, but yes, with a remote control in our hand, sitting on a couch, is really the best way to dissect what happens in any football game.
The football dominates television ratings because it's better on television than it is in person. It is.
You know, I really do love the NFL, but I think I'll choose freedom. I think I'll choose freedom. we've got this one here that I got to show you. This is an NFL tiers list that
this is good.
Out.
I love this.
And this one bugs the hell out of me.
Okay? Oh, this one's different. Yeah, Damon and I had a more even one, but this one's pretty brutal.
Okay,
yeah.
So I put this out. I retweeted this, and I'm like, why are the Eagles on their own tier? And I think the Eagles are a good team.
Quick question, Larry. Pre or post Micah trade, this tier list, do we know?
This is post Micah.
Okay.
I saw it post Micah, but it could have been created pre Micah.
Okay.
But here's how I would. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but personally, I think this is an old concept of the number one team. Like, I think in this salary cap era and with everybody kind of watered down, and you know, the Eagles, it's the same way the Eagles got new players, they also had to say goodbye to some players. I mean, everybody's kind of like, well, they're better here, they're worse there, they're better here. It's so every one of these teams, if I were doing this tier list, my top tier would be literally made up of a lot more guys, more teams.
Yeah. Larry.
Here's my top tier.
Yeah.
Philly. And my top tier would be, I don't think any of these teams really are, at the end of the discussion, above anybody else. I really don't.
Yep.
I think they all can make their argument. I would have the top tier: Philly, Detroit, Houston, Green Bay, Kansas City, Tampa, Washington, Baltimore, Denver, Cincy, that's 10, Chargers, Buffalo,
standing room only.
All right,
standing
dude,
room only why, on the top
why,
tier.
Why do I believe that? Because the top
that's
tier,
a lot. I think the Larry, top there, tier, that's aggressive. I like your point, but that is an aggressive room. There is not enough. There are not enough seats on the couch for that one. Yes.
The point is that what makes up the top tier? The top tier is made up of teams that I believe can win the Super Bowl this year. The non-teams that are not on those 13, if you're not part of that list I gave, you're not winning the Super Bowl. I don't believe there's you might be able to throw the Rams in there, but the rest of the teams belong to me. That if I was doing the tiers, the top tier would be that huge group. Then there would be a huge divide. Then you've got the second group, and then you've got the toilet bowl. I would have it in three tiers. I don't think Detroit. Why is the Houston Texans with Stroud, who kind of regressed last year? Why are the Detroit Lions, who just lost their offensive and defensive coordinators and are one Goff injury away from being totally crap?
I mean, historically,
they're right there. So I every one of these teams has things that they need, but I'll take my list as teams that can win the Super Bowl at the top. And you know, I don't.
What you've done, Larry,
I think Buffalo.
You separated the league into has a shot, doesn't have a shot. This is trying to, you know, regulate the amount of shots, and I don't agree with it. First of all, what is tier S? What does S stand for?
Does that mean standalone? I don't even know what that means. But
Super Bowl, sure. Don't worry about that. I think they were probably, you know, I don't know.
Should it be like 1A? I don't know. I don't think either the Lions nor the Texans deserve their own row.
Right.
I think that taking Kansas City off of any top tier is fool's errand until it's
right.
Proven true.
I agree.
You know, there's a reason why they're in the NFC Championship game every single year since Patrick Mahomes has been in football, or excuse me, AFC Championship game. You know, I don't believe in the Bengals, I think, as much as you do, but could, maybe, sure, maybe. You know, Arizona is a maybe, sure, could, maybe, but I mean, yeah, first of all, that's some clickbaity bullshit nonsense that we're looking at right there. That's a bad list. Before we even start arguing over what a tier should be, that's a bad list.
Let me put this in a blender real quick. So this is fascinating, and it's doing exactly what it intends. We are discussing it. Any tier with two things needs to be thrown out. Kansas City on a tier 3, throw it away. Arizona and Baltimore on the same tier, throw it away.
How about Pittsburgh as well? Pittsburgh is ass.
Absolutely inexcusably irresponsible is what this list is. But let's pretend that we were making one. I want to make a criteria of this. If you had a $100 ticket on the following teams for a Super Bowl or the field, how happy would you be? And to me, that boils down to Philadelphia, Detroit, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. If I gave you those and then said the field, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the ticket with the teams I just mentioned?
Why would you rather take the field? Why is Detroit on that list?
Detroit's on that list because of where they've been the last two seasons.
Yeah, but they lost the coordinators.
I still think Vegas would have value. I still think there's a lot of people that see them as that team. So that's fine. Do you want to replace Detroit with Green Bay? Would that make you happier in that one?
Well, I don't think that Detroit. I think Detroit's going to take a major backslide. I really do.
I think they got a shot.
I think everybody in my top tier has a shot at the Super Bowl, and I think below that, the next tier probably should be got teams that are kind of middle of the road but have no shot at the Super Bowl, and then that should be a lot of teams. And then the bottom tier should be like the teams that are going nowhere. And I kind of think like Bears and Colts and Titans don't belong with Saints and Panthers. Yeah. I think they're better.
Agreed.
And I think Patriots are way better than being on that second to worst tier. I also think Seattle is better than being on that third worst tier. You know what I'm saying?
We separated into some chance, none chance. There you go.
Embarrassment. Like there's embarrassing situations. Like New Orleans, I think, is kind of an embarrassing situation right now. Carolina is a bad organization. The Jets are a bad organization. I'd have them like bottom, real bottom.
I know you got to get going, Larry. I know you got to get going. Let me just ask you guys on the way out. We all know 49ers, Seahawks doesn't get any bigger than that, but it is a very interesting week one. What's another game you're really interested in watching this weekend? We got Thursday night, Cowboys, Eagles, take that off the table. We're all excited for the first game. We got Friday night, standalone, Chargers, Chiefs. That's a big boy game. Take that off the table. Sunday games. What are you also interested in? To me, I think Cardinals Saints ain't sexy, but it serves two masters if you're a 49ers fan. Number one, you get to scout next week's opponent in New Orleans. And number two, I think Arizona has the biggest their season could end in either direction fork in the road of maybe all teams in football. You could argue to me that they've got a top five pick next year in the draft. You could argue that they are in the NFL's final four. They're in the NFC title game. Like Arizona has the biggest might not swing, I think, maybe in the league. So Cardinals Saints is going to get zero love except for me right now here. I'm kind of interested in that dog shit of a football game.
That's a bold choice, Larry. I'll let you go now. I'll let you put your order in next. I've got a big answer.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean, Ravens Bills on Monday night or on Sunday night in Buffalo.
Without question.
Is absolutely great. And the other one, I'd like to see Raiders Pats because I'm really eager to see what the Raiders look like. And I think the Pats might be a bounce back team this year, but if I had to pick one game, Damon, I'm going Chiefs Chargers Friday night at SoFi, or I guess it's not in SoFi, it's in Brazil.
Yep.
So Chiefs Chargers from Brazil. I'm a big Charger guy this year. My Super Bowl pick is the Niners and the Chargers. So I'll say Chiefs Chargers would be mine.
By the way, I just want to talk about that game for a second. The Chargers being robbed of their Kansas City home game this season is rough. If you're trying to win that division,
The Chargers don't have home games.
But a Brazil game that would have otherwise been in LA, I think that's a tough putt. When you're talking about trying to overtake the Chiefs, your home game against them is important, and they essentially lost that. Without question, this is Ravens-Bills. This season, when you open up the schedule and look at the number one game, Ravens-Bills is so far and away that, because those two are still licking their lips for a chance to beat the Chiefs and haven't done it, and they essentially eliminate each other every season going into it. So that is a monster, monster game that I want to circle and just be on the record that is the one. I can get cute and creative about other games, but Ravens-Bills on paper is by far, considering that the Ravens season ends at the hands of the Bills, et cetera. It just, that's huge. Number two, I want to say this, and I know we're not going to get a chance, Damon, you and I can chew on this tomorrow. The NFL top 100, I just want to give each of us a chance to say, Brock Purdy not in the top 100. Now, again, voted on by your peers. Brock Purdy appears in the top 100 congratulating Saquon more than he does getting any praise himself. That was it's a great list every year. And when you consider that the players are voting, it's fantastic. Brock Purdy's one of the top 100 players in this league. I just want to say that.
That list is so, I don't want to say it has no credibility, but I don't put tons into
but
that.
Voted list. On by tons. Players? I mean, voted on by players is at least interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, but the players don't. I know the players' schedule. They don't put a lot of time into that.
I got my final question for you. How many touches? I'm going to set the over under at 6.5 touches for Brian Robinson Jr. in his first game with the 49ers? Or will Kyle just become completely dependent on Christian McCaffrey and forget that they traded for Brian Robinson Jr.?
I'm going to say over.
Over 6.5 touchdowns. I hope you're right, Larry. I hope you're right.
You know, the thing about Brian Robinson, Damon, he's a tough guy. He's a prideful guy. Kind of reminds me of JJ in some ways. And he wants to play. He's like, I ain't here to back up nobody. So they're going to, it's going to be very uncomfortable for Kyle Shanahan and Bobby T if they decide to sit.
They got to keep him invested in the year and feed him a little. So I hope I hope they start right away.
One mention here before we get out. I got to mention this, and I don't have to mention this, but I get to mention this. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Today's show sponsored by Habas Law. For more than 40 years, Omar Habas and his son Tarek have been standing up for people here in the Bay Area. They're fierce. They're relentless attorneys. They don't back down until justice is done. And they go after insurance companies. They're partnered with the Giants, the Earthquakes, the Sharks, San Jose State, Santa Clara. They're very much rooted here in the Bay Area. So if you need someone in your corner, call the firm that insurance companies hope that you don't call, and that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit their website, habaslaw.com. And thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We appreciate them greatly.
By the way, Larry, can you put up Quesadilla Thrilla? Put a comment up that I'd love to put on the screen, because he was very creative. He clearly was listening to the three of us a few of the times that we have been talking, but he's excited for the season. I think he's
what
got
time?
This is just a couple of minutes ago. Quesadilla Thrilla. Look what he made. His little emoji there is our Sala, our Shanahan Sala, presidential t-shirt that we put for the season, making the Niners great again, which is pretty cool that he put that badge. But 12-4, this is sort of the anti-Ernberg take on the Niners season. And of course, there'll be more than 12-4. They'll have to be either 13-4 or 12-5, but that would be a strong season. And when you look at the schedule, I think we both got to 12 pretty easily.
12-4 is possible, but I do think that 9-8 is possible. So I think that's kind of the window. If the Niners are better than 12-4, I would be shocked. If the Niners are worse than 9-8, I would be shocked. What's that?
Last supers that came in. Ernberg with a positive, go Niners. We got JC Mania says, do you think Folsom has a chance to beat Modern Day if they were open? That's a high school football conversation. No one gives a shit. Dale says the NFL is the best parody in sports. At least 50% of the league has a chance. This is a stupid argument. Well, look at it this way. Not only do you have four new teams in every single postseason going on like 30 years now, so you always got teams showing up out of nowhere, and you got teams falling off that top shelf all the time due to injury or many reasons. So Thanks for all the supers. Thanks for watching. Larry, I know you got a bounce. Sammy, I know you got a bounce. I got Mike Salk, host of The Man up in Seattle. He's joining me at 11 o'clock on the Plus, and we're going to kind of break down the enemy. So stick around for that. Larry, it's good to see you, man. It really is. Sammy, bananas, always great to have you in the mix. It really is. Thanks to everybody for being a part of this. And we're so happy it's week one, man. We're so happy. Are we doing this again on Friday, Larry? We officially got to wake up on Friday?
We are going to do wake up on Friday.
All right.
I am going to be on the road for that because I'll be at Levi's. So we'll have to deal with that. But
Levi Larry.
Yeah, Levi Larry on a Friday, which is always kind of a little bit of a risk. But anyway, that's gonna do it for us. I'm off to talk to Kyle Shanahan at Seahawk Week. Shanahan will be in the auditorium in Santa Clara at 12:40. Then we'll have the open locker room practice today at 1:55. Niners Nightly, YouTube only on the KMBR YouTube channel tonight at 6. And Kev is making his way back from Japan. If we may go call-in show tonight. We haven't done the call-in show, but we're going to start doing the call-in show again. I don't know if you guys do call-in shows, but they're really great. And, so we're going to try to, if I've got enough energy, which I think I will, I'll be doing a call-in show later on tonight. So anyway, that's going to do it for us.
Time for us to bolt for the door. Thanks to Trent Baalke. I wrote this name down in an envelope. It said, you better get out of here by 10:40. Because Damon's got something at 11 on his channel, and it's going to take a long fucking time to drive to Santa Clara. And I just want to say that, I'm all about, the Niners and Chad and everything. But, let's just have one real strong God bless Trent Baalke.
God bless!